So, Tabs, there is a bit of an uproar with regards to what we just shared recently. And I think we've got to combat that with strong prayer. Prayer that God answers. Yes. Now, we're looking at the Our Father prayer. And the first two parts, what are they all about?
Well, the first two parts are all about us as His children coming to Him, as His children, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Second part is all about thanksgiving and praise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We remind Him of who He is and we thank Him for what He's done in our lives.
And what part of Matthew chapter 6, Our Father prayer, is that?
Let's see. Hallowed be your name.
Yes. So we hallow the name of God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter His courts with praise. God doesn't answer prayers that come with complaining and murmuring. We've got to come with faith, right? We come with faith towards God and we thank Him for who He is and what He has done. And then it goes to a part of the prayer where it says, as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth, right? So your kingdom come, your will be done. As it is in heaven, let it be so on earth, right? So what are we praying for when we're saying, your kingdom come? Jesus is saying to us here, we've got to pray. What's a kingdom? It's where a king has dominion, right? Mm-hmm. Kingdom. King, if you break it up, it's the ruler. Dome comes from dominion, right? Where the king has rulership. So what he's saying is that we should pray that the king should have dominion as it is in heaven, right? Because God is a king in heaven, yes?
Yes.
The Father. As He has dominion in heaven, let Him also have dominion here on earth. Now remember, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself into a place without Him being invited, right? The Holy Spirit is described, as a gentle spirit, yes? So it's not barging, it's not forceful, because God has given you the freedom to choose. And so we've got to pray that God's kingdom be established firstly in our own lives, right? We pray, Lord, as it is in heaven, establish your kingdom in my own life. You first pray this for yourself, okay? Then you pray for your family, right? You want God to have dominion in your family,
mm-hmm.
Your mom, your siblings, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, you understand. You pray for them by name and you pray that God's kingdom will be established in their lives. Then you pray for your local church, okay? So first and foremost, your pastor, because if your pastor is leading you astray, you're in trouble, right? So you need God to work within His life. You pray for the church at large. Pray for your cell leader. What's your cell leader's name again?
Monique.
Shout out Monique. You pray for her. You pray for your cell sisters. Why? Because you want the kingdom of God to be established in their lives. Yes?
Yes.
Then you got to pray for those who are vulnerable. Right? Those who are vulnerable. Yes, so people who are down and out, people who haven't had the opportunity to hear the gospel as yet. We've got to pray that the kingdom be established in their lives. And then also we pray for the government.
Mm.
All right, the government. Remember, authority. Bible says that all authority comes from the government. I mean, from Him, from the Lord. All authority comes from the Lord. So we pray for those that govern our lives, that make decisions concerning our lives. Whether they're saved, whether they're unsaved, whether they're the party that we choose, whether they're the party that we don't choose. We've got to pray God's kingdom and His dominion over their lives, right? You pray that over the principals of the schools, over the teachers that teach your kids. You pray that over the ward counselors in your area. You pray that over the dean of the students, you know, the people that literally make decisions that affect you in this world. We pray that. Now the question begs, how do you pray for the kingdom? Right? How do you accurately pray your kingdom come, your will be done? Because it's not just as simple as saying, Lord, just come in. Right? What do you pray to establish the will of God? And this is what I'm going to teach us for the next couple of days, because it goes into different prayers. And this is how you see where Jesus says this is a model prayer. You see His disciples teaching how to pray and they use a similar model. There's a similar type of prayer that these guys pray. So we'll specifically zone in on the Colossians prayer. Colossians 1 verse 9 to 14. Okay. Now again, Tubbs, I'm looking at you face to face here. I've got my laptop open, but it's not notes. And this is how you pray for the will of God upon someone's life. So Colossians 1 verse 9 to 14 says, you pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they will walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being fruitful in every good work. Yes. And then that they will be strengthened with might on the inner man according to His glorious power, unto patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, that's what the entire thing says. And eventually you will learn the whole Colossians prayer, but it's broken up into three parts.
Okay.
Very, very simple. This is how you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in your own life, in your family's life, in your pastor's life, in the government's life, and in the life of those who are vulnerable, those that haven't heard the gospel as yet. Three parts. You pray that they will know God's will. You pray that they will do God's will, and that they will continue in doing God's will. That's praying accurate prayers. Someone needs to know the will of God, then they need to do the will of God, and then they need to continue in doing the will of God. So you start off with yourself, right? You pray, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will. Lord, help me to know your will and purpose for my life. Now, how many of you know that just knowing about the will of God and doing it are two completely different things? Matthew 7 says, don't just be a hearer of the word, so deceiving yourself. Do what it says. Okay, so after we pray, okay, that the lights go on. Thank you, Lord. I know what you want me to do today. You pray what? That you actually do it. Lord, give me the strength to do your will. Give me the strength to do the Bible, right? And then, you know, Tubbs, sometimes we get tired in doing the right thing. Okay? And this is why we've got to pray for patience and long-suffering with joy. That we're able to continue in this with joy. So we know the will of God, we do the will of God, and we continue in the will of God. So can you see how rich the Our Father prayer actually is? It's not just about us saying, Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
This is how you can literally, and the stuff that I'm teaching you here, you take this, and this is how you can pray in understanding, whether it is Zulu, English, Afrikaans, the language of your choice, in understanding, you can pray for an hour without breaking out into tongues. Yeah, you understand, you know? We're teaching you how to pray and converse with God, prayers that get answered. So you start. So when I pray, I start. I pray for myself. Lord, please fill me with the knowledge of your will through wisdom and spiritual understanding. Pray that I may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I pray, Lord, that I'll be strengthened with might on the inner man, according to your glorious power, unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness and giving thanks to the Father who has created me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light. I pray, Lord, I pray for my wife Togo. I pray by name, right? Togo Zile. I pray for her, Lord, that she will know your will, that she will do your will, and that she will continue in doing your will. Lord, help her not to get tired in doing what she needs to do for you. And then I pray for my sons. I say, pray, Lord, I pray for Alwande. I bring him towards you. Help him, Lord, even at a young age, it's 2 years old that he's at, that he will know your will and that he will do your will, oh God, whatever it looks like as a two-year-old, and that he will continue doing your will. I pray for Enzo Gutle as he's learning to sleep better. I pray, Lord, that you will establish your kingdom within his life, right? Let the king's dominion be upon him. Please help him to know your will. Help him to do your will. Help him to continue in your will. And I pray for my pastors. I pray for my leaders. I pray for my cell mates. You understand? Mm-hmm. Then we're talking 15 minutes already.
Yeah.
And I haven't even asked God for my own needs yet. Mm. I haven't even gotten to give us this day our daily bread. I'm just establishing the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And here's a nice way to remember who to pray for. This is why I was looking at my hand.
Yes.
Okay, I want you to take out your hand. And if you're listening to us right now as well, take out your hand and I want you to point your palm towards you. Right?
Yes.
Not your palm. Sorry. Point your thumb towards you. Okay? So you pray for yourself. This is the closest finger to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because with your thumb, you can touch all the other fingers. Right? Try touch the other fingers. Okay. Now try get your ring finger to touch all the fingers. No. Okay, so why do you pray for yourself first? Because you touch the church, you touch the government, you touch the vulnerable people, and you touch all of that. You understand? Okay. That one finger touches everything. So if you are established and the kingdom of God is established in you first, that's why we pray for ourselves first and establish the kingdom of God in us first, because it starts with us, right? Then we pray. This is your index finger. It's used to point, right?
Yes.
It's the pointing finger. All right. Mm-hmm. So you pray for those who are, what's it called? That point you towards God.
Oh.
You understand? So there you pray for your church. Pray for your church and the members there. Then it should, if your hand is fine, it should, your ring finger, your middle finger should be the longest finger that you have on your hand, right? Yes. And that speaks about the authority above you, the government.
Okay.
You understand? So you pray for the government. Then the ring finger, Tubbs, you don't have a ring on your finger yet. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Any single men? Tubbs doesn't have a ring on a finger. I do, but, and this represents your family, right? This is, my wife has the other one. So I pray for my family, right? Because I put the ring on this finger.
Okay.
And then last, it's the smallest finger. It's the people that the pinky finger. Okay. So it's the people that are vulnerable, the people that really, we pray for the community at large, people that don't know Jesus. We pray for them. We pray the kingdom of God upon their lives. All right?
Okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's not biblical, just by the way. Using your hand to pray, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you must use it like that. But everything that we've just shared right now is exactly what it is. So we're going to do our five confessions of the blood of redemption. And then, Tubbs, I'm going to ask you to help us pray. And let's pray for our kids that we are sending to school. Okay, we're going to pray that God does what? That they're filled, that they know His will.
That they know His will.
That they do His will. And that they continue His will, in His will. Okay, so let's do the five confessions. And then Tubbs is going to pray for us. And specifically pray for the kids that are in the car right now, as we're going to be sending them to school. And we're going to pray that they will know God's will, do God's will, and continue in His will. As it is in heaven, let it be so here on earth.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
Out of the hands of the enemy.
Out of the hands of the enemy.
And brought into the kingdom of Jesus.
And brought into the kingdom of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been forgiven.
I have been forgiven.
Of all my sin.
Of all my sin.
Past, present, and future.
Past, present, and future.
Because I walk in the light.
Because I walk in the light.
And have fellowship with other believers.
And have fellowship with other believers.
The blood of Jesus cleanses me now.
The blood of Jesus cleanses me now.
And continuously.
And continuously.
From all my sin.
From all my sin.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been justified.
I have been justified.
God sees me.
God sees me.
Just as if.
Just as if.
I have never sinned.
I have never sinned.
And by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been sanctified.
I have been sanctified.
Set apart.
Set apart.
For God's holy purpose.
For God's holy purpose. So there where you are, if you're in your car and you've got your little ones with you, I want you to just place a hand on them, okay? Little ones, close your eyes. Auntie Tubbs is going to pray for you, and we're praying that God's kingdom will be established in your life.
Father, we bring these precious children that you have brought into our lives. We pray that they may know your will, that they may do your will and continue to do your will. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and amen. Awesome. Yes, yes, yes. God's kingdom will be established upon your life. Have a great, great day, my little ones. School might be starting in the next 5 minutes or so. And we really are just so encouraged by you. Thank you, Tubbs. Thank you for that, huh?